In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, as we pray about Lent, we have begun, as usual, asking for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. Help us to make Lent truly a time of prayer, of penance, of charity, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. We are preparing to celebrate that great feast of our redemption, your death on the cross on Good Friday, your resurrection from the dead, a symbol of our own life too. We live here on earth, journeying towards heaven. We will die as you did, and we will rise again to heaven. Saint Augustine speaks about Lent as symbolizing our life here on earth with its trials and tribulations, and the time of Easter, that long season after Easter Sunday, as symbolizing our life in heaven. Let us read his words. There are then two ages. The first is the present age, which consists of the temptations and tribulations of this life. The second is the future age, which consists of everlasting peace and rejoicing. So too, we celebrate two seasons, one before Easter and one after. The season before Easter signifies the tribulation in which we now live. The present season after Easter signifies the happiness which will be ours hereafter. What we celebrate before Easter, we already experience. What we celebrate after Easter signifies that we do not yet possess what we celebrate. And so we keep the season before Easter in fasting and prayer, but in the present season, and he's speaking in Easter season, we relax our fast and devote ourselves to praise. This is the meaning of the Alleluia, which we sing. Both of these truths are symbolized and expressed in the life of Christ our head. The Lord's Passion reminds us of our state of need in this present life, in which we have to toil and suffer and finally die. The Lord's resurrection and his glorification reveal to us the life which is destined to be ours. Lord, help us to live this time of Lent in that spirit. We are journeying towards heaven, and we don't know when you're going to call us. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 10 years' time or 40. We don't know. We want to be ready. And Lent is a time in which we quicken our step on this journey to that encounter with you when you call us and welcome us, God willing, into heaven. Lent is a journey. Pope Francis, in his Lenten message for 2025, speaks of that. It is a jubilee year, and we are journeying in hope, the theme of that jubilee year. Let us read some of his words. We begin our annual pilgrimage of Lent in faith and hope with the penitential rite of the imposition of ashes. The Church, our mother and teacher, invites us to open our hearts to God's grace so that we can celebrate with great joy the Paschal victory of Christ the Lord over sin and death, which led St. Paul to exclaim, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Indeed, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is the heart of our faith and the pledge of our hope in the Father's great promise, already fulfilled in his beloved Son, life eternal. He goes on, this Lent, as we share in the grace of the Jubilee year, I would like to propose a few reflections on what it means to journey together in hope, and on the summons to conversion that God in his mercy addresses to all of us, as individuals and as a community. First of all, to journey. The Jubilee motto, Pilgrims of Hope, evokes the lengthy journey of the people of Israel to the Promised Land, as recounted in the book of Exodus. This arduous path from slavery to freedom was willed and guided by the Lord, who loves his people and remains ever faithful to them. A first call to conversion thus comes from the realization that all of us are pilgrims in this life. Each of us is invited to stop and ask how our lives reflect this fact. Am I really on a journey? Or am I standing still, not moving, either immobilized by fear and hopelessness, or reluctant to move out of my comfort zone? Am I seeking ways to leave behind the occasions of sin and situations that degrade my dignity? And Lord, help us to realize we are on a journey. Our whole life is a journey to heaven. Lent is a journey to Easter, a journey through your death on Calvary to your resurrection, symbolizing our own resurrection to eternal life. Help us to journey, not to stand still. Help us to quicken the pace in this time of Lent, so that we are ready always to meet you whenever you call us. The second reflection of Pope Francis, we are journeying together with others. He says, second, to journey together. The Church is called to walk together, to be synodal. Christians are called to walk at the side of others and never as lone travelers. The Holy Spirit impels us not to remain self-absorbed, but to leave ourselves behind and keep walking towards God and our brothers and sisters. Journeying together means consolidating the unity grounded in our common dignity as children of God. It means walking side by side, without shoving or stepping on others, without envy or hypocrisy, without letting anyone be left behind or excluded. Let us all walk in the same direction, tending towards the same goal, attentive to one another, in love and patience. And Lord, here we have that third aspect of Lent, which is almsgiving or charity. We are not going to heaven alone. We go with others. We live in a family. We live in a community, in a society. Let us be thoughtful of the others. Let us live that exquisite charity that Lent invites us to live. And the Pope continues in that same second point. This Lent, God is asking us to examine whether in our lives, in our families, in the places where we work and spend our time, we are capable of walking together with others, listening to them, resisting the temptation to become self-absorbed, and to think only of our own needs. This, then, is a second call to conversion, a summons to synodality. And we could say a summons to charity, to be less self-centered, selfish, and more thoughtful of all those around us. And third, he says, let us journey together in hope, for we have been given a promise. May the hope that does not disappoint, the central message of the Jubilee, be the focus of our Lenten journey towards the victory of Easter. Christ, my hope, has risen. He lives and reigns in glory. Death has been transformed into triumph, and the faith and great hope of Christians rests in this, the resurrection of Christ. This, then, is the third call to conversion, a call to hope, to trust in God and his great promise of eternal life. Lord, help us to live Lent in that spirit, on our way to heaven, to eternal life with you in hope. And sometimes we might become discouraged. We might become anxious about this or that, but we trust in you. You are with us. Hope does not disappoint, which was the theme of the Pope's letter for the Jubilee year. Spes non confundit. Hope does not disappoint, from St. Paul's letter to the Romans in the fifth chapter. And so we have the theme of Lent, a journey to Easter, a journey to eternal life, in the company of others, looking after them. And so, Lord, help us to live it well. Help us to have it as a time of true conversion, starting from where we are, knowing that we can be better. Even if we are committing few sins, we can be better. We can be saints. We need to be saints. And Lord, let us go to you with those days of fast and prayer before you began your public life, those days in the desert. We open the Gospel of St. Matthew to the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Lord, those 40 days of yours in the wilderness, in that barren land up from Jericho, absolutely barren, where you spent 40 days fasting and praying, are how we celebrate Lent, 40 days of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And then you were tempted, and we are tempted. But the more we live Lent well, the more we live our life well, with more prayer, more penance, more charity, the more we too will resist the temptations that the devil comes to bring us. Many. Why are we so weak? If we were more in love with you through our prayer, if we had a stronger will developed by our penance, which both helps to make up for our past sins so that we can avoid purgatory or at least shorten it, and it strengthens our will for future battles against sin. And the more we live charity, the more we forget ourselves, the more we will be able to resist temptations too and hasten on our journey to heaven. Lord, you love us. Those words of St. John at the beginning of the 13th chapter of his Gospel, which begins the account of the Last Supper and your passion and death, he writes, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Lord, you loved us. You loved me to the end. You suffered that agony of your passion and death for me, for all of us. You love me to that extreme, to the end. How much do I love you? Lent is a time in which we grow in your love, in which we respond to your love. And let us meditate just briefly on your passion and death, taking it from the five sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. Your agony in the garden, sweating blood, as you considered, yes, the suffering and death that was to come, but also the denial of Judas, the betrayal, 30 pieces of silver, your chosen apostle now betraying you, the denials of Peter, even of all the rest, and I will never deny you. I'll lay down my life for you. And then three denials before a maidservant. I don't know the man. The denials, the weakness of Peter was part of your agony. The suffering of your mother on the following day. You knew she would be there. How much she would suffer with you. The thought of all those souls down the ages who would not be saved in spite of your death for them to open up the gates of heaven. And so many would not be sorry for their sins, would reject you at the end and spend eternity in hell. You suffered for them. That was part of your agony in the garden that led you to sweat that blood. The scourging at the pillar, that terrible, pitiless, relentless scourging. What pain. You suffered that for us. The crowning with thorns, then pressing that crown of sharp thorns down on your scalp, and the blood flowed down. The carrying of the cross when you were exhausted. You had lost so much blood. You were weak. And now they load that heavy cross on your shoulders and force you to carry it to Calvary. And you are without any strength. And you fall. And your body is saying, I can't. I can't do this. I can't get up. And you get up to show us that we can get up too. And you fall a second time, and then it's even worse. And the third, and you show us by your love for us, by your fortitude, that we can do more than we think we can too. Help us to pick up our cross daily and carry it. And then the crucifixion, being nailed through your wrists and your feet and hanging there for 3 hours in that agony of crucifixion until finally you breathe your last. Lord, how much you love us. How much you love me. Help me to love you more. Help me to live this time of Lent in reparation and in thanksgiving for your love for me. Help me to follow you along that way of the cross to the resurrection. You invited me to do that. You invited everyone. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And Lord, if we examine our daily life and ask, how many penances do I do each day to make up for my many sins? But I am so reluctant to do penance, to deny myself. Well, then let me be more penitential now in Lent to take up that extra cross, those extra penances that I will decide to do so that I make it a good, fruitful Lent. And then if we live Lent well, it is a true blossoming of our spiritual life. If we are interested, and I always am, in the etymology of words, and one asks the question, where do we get that word Lent? In the Romance languages, the word for Lent is based on the number 40 from the Latin quadragesima. And so we have Quarem, we have Quaresma, and other languages. But in English, it's Lent. Where did we get that word? It comes from an ancient Anglo-Saxon word, Lenten, meaning springtime. Lent falls in the Northern Hemisphere spring. And Lord, if we live Lent well, it is a springtime in our spiritual life, a new growth, a new blossoming. But help us to live it well. Help us not to let this Lent pass and just doing a few token things, and then there's no blossoming, there's no springtime. We want always to grow, always to be growing until finally you call us, struggling out of love until the last instant, Deo gracias, as St. Jose Maria summed up our life, always struggling. And in Lent, we struggle a little bit more. How can we live Lent well? The three focuses, as we know from the Gospel that we read on Ash Wednesday, are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And there's so many ways that we can quicken our step in Lent in each one of those. We start with our life of prayer. But again, before we start, we can ask ourselves, how prayerful am I on a daily basis? How many prayers do I say? How many times of prayer, perhaps mental prayer, do I have? Am I praying throughout the day, from the morning offering throughout the day to the examination of conscience at night? Even if we are doing much prayer now, we can improve the quality of our prayer. We can say that morning offering when we get out of bed, so that we offer the day from the beginning to you. We can spend some time in meditation, mental prayer, and often using the Gospels of the Passion. It's a very good theme for our prayer in Lent. Choose one of the four accounts of the Passion in the Gospels, make our way through it slowly, reading a few lines, meditating on them, so that we accompany you on your journey to the resurrection. Doing the Stations of the Cross, perhaps in our parish, once a week. Attending Mass more often. How often do I go to Mass now? Many people go to Mass every day, or at least a few more times a week during Lent. Could I be one of them? Going to sacramental confession more often. That great sacrament of mercy. You died to forgive our sins. We don't take advantage of this great sacrament of joy, of mercy. Help us to go more often and invite others to go with us. The second area, penance, fasting, self-denial in general. How much penance do I normally do? We can do more in Lent. And here, even children think of what they're going to give up for Lent. I work in a girls' school, looking after the primary school girls, and every year I am edified when I ask them, what are some things that people might do in Lent? And I get very generous answers from these girls. Recently, one of them said, you could take a cold shower during Lent. A few years ago, a girl said, we sleep on the floor during Lent. And how many children are giving up lollies and ice cream and soft drinks and junk food, things that they really enjoy, doing that for the love of God in Lent? Many families will do things together. They will deny themselves certain foods, like perhaps sweets in the dessert, perhaps not watching television, and always remembering that the six Sundays of Lent are never days of penance. And so there are 40 days, not counting the six Sundays. We can relax a little bit on Sundays. One of the answers that the girls gave in different classes this year was avoiding excessive use of technology. And here we can all improve. If we think how many times we pick up our mobile phone each day, times when we don't really need to do that. Oh, I just wanted to check the news. I just wanted to check my messages. I wanted to check my emails. I wanted to have a look at something on YouTube. We don't need to look at it so often. And when we are about to look at our phone, we can ask ourselves, Do I need to do this now? If I don't, let's leave it for later, and maybe not do it at all. And secondly, not only do we look at our phone too often, we look at it for too long. We get started with something short, and that leads to something else and something else. And if we go to social media or YouTube, we can be there for hours. Lord, help us not to do that. Cut down on our use of the phone. It would make us more efficacious, give us more time for the things that we really ought to be doing. And then for some, thirdly, they look at the wrong sites. And there are sites that are positively toxic, truly harmful for the soul, no end of temptations to sin, and the sins follow. Lord, help us to look at how much we use our phone now, to cut down, to use it when it is necessary in Lent, but not to use it as often as we often do. And of course, food. Maybe we eat too much. Let's cut down on food. The seasoning we put on food. Do I have to put salt on this, sugar on that? The choice of food. This breakfast cereal that I like a little bit less rather than that other one. This fruit rather than that other one. Not to be afraid of self-denial in the area of food. I think back to when I was growing up, and the Lenten discipline for the whole church then was we fasted every day of Lent, meaning only what the church demands today. We have one full meal and two smaller ones and nothing between meals. We could live that now too. It's up to each one of us to do what we want. But that is not a great penance, to have one full meal, two smaller ones, and not eat anything between meals. The use of alcohol. Some people give up alcohol altogether in Lent. Lord, help us to look at this area, examine ourselves, and think, what can I do this year which will be generous? Because, Lord, you are generous with me. You gave your life. You love me to the end. Help me to follow you along that way. Then we will make it more sure that we will go to heaven when we die. And then, thirdly, and most importantly, almsgiving, charity. We considered some of the aspects in the Pope's Lenten message. Listening to others. Not being in such a hurry that people who want to talk have no one with a listening ear. Let us be that person. Let us spend time with each member of our family, going for a walk, talking, going out to eat, doing something together, spending time with the whole of our family together to build up that family life. Serving more. When one person in the family is running behind preparing the meal or doing the laundry or whatever, we can offer to help. We can tell them, look, you sit down, I'll do this. And then all of those areas that refer to people not in the family. Visiting a friend in that nursing home, in the hospital, ringing somebody who we know is alone, just chatting, finding out how they are, giving money to charity, visiting poor people. So many ways that we can live this most important virtue, which is charity, especially now, in this time of Lent. And then, of course, avoiding sins, the anger, the envy, the vengeance that we might feel, the complaining, the negativity. One of the fathers of the church says the first thing we must give up in Lent is our evil habits. Let us consider what sins we normally commit, try to commit fewer of them, and go to confession. We finish our prayer, Mary, our mother. You accompanied Jesus on the cross. You were there with the other holy women. Help me to accompany him in this time of Lent so that I can suffer with him in order to enjoy the glory of the resurrection, of going to heaven with you and him forever. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions affections and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.